This is our number
two.
It's time for the fastest 15 minutes of the news. This is Dory's Fastest 15.
Oh, that was a good one. You give us 15 minutes, we'll give you the world. I really liked that hour number two echo. I couldn't tell if Andrew hated my last minute addition. I wasn't ready yet. I had a little more in me, so that's why the came, got it all out.
I liked it. I liked it a lot.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. We're going to get to the text line quick before we get to some of our fastest 15 minutes in the news, because we were talking at the top of the show about in the big lead about the story we're all waiting on today, and that is what former President Donald Trump is going to announce at 9 p.m. Eastern time in Mar-a-Lago. That's 6 p.m. our time. I wish he was doing it during the show today. Nicole, you have a relationship with him. Can't you get him to call in?
I know.
Work
He's
on that.
He's letting me down. That's why I don't want him to run again.
Hey, can you work on that?
Yeah, I'm on it.
Great. Let's see. We got some text 206. We're talking about, again, do you want Trump to run? Do you think that's the best, et cetera? 206. Trump beats Gavin Newsom 2024 with the exception of Florida and Texas. Midterm was won by Democrat redistricting. Trump sent message to DeSantis to wait to run until 2028. That's quite a detailed prediction. I don't think DeSantis will listen to Trump and wait to run until, because why 2028? Wait a second. Oh, okay. I see. Okay. Yeah, I'm just doing the math. Math is never. I can't believe it's 2028 already. Oh, wow. I'm old.
Seems so far away.
Yeah. Let's see. Miss Jan voted for Trump twice. I liked all of his policies. Most of the drama was caused by the media. Trump needs to go away. Please go away. I'm sure the left will be thrilled if he runs. Go DeSantis. Yeah. And I do believe the media, and we were just talking in the commercial break about, I wonder if the media has learned its lesson from the way it behaved in 2016, which was, I think the media really helped catapult Trump's campaign because they gave him a lot of free airtime, which does matter in a campaign. Trump spent almost nothing, or maybe it was nothing, on TV ads himself from his campaign fund, because he turned on CNN and he was getting hours of TV ads. And so I wonder if the media would treat this campaign differently. I guess we shall see. Let's see. And then this text was for you, and they're right, because you had kind of said, you're getting corrected, Nicole.
Well, so I want to correct this text.
Oh, here, well, so let's set it up first. Nicole said that, you know, DeSantis has been kind of eyeing the presidency. You think it was his longtime plan, and Trump, not so much. So maybe he didn't get his you-know-what together or to get his skeletons from his closet sort of organized.
Right.
And this person points out, which is true, as early as October 6, 1980, there were discussions of a Trump presidency.
Right.
I remember the Larry King one in particular.
But there was no social media. And that's what I said going into this, is DeSantis has had this social media world on his radar since he decided to probably, you know, be or to run for president as a young guy, where Trump was, you know, 40 before social media was even on the radar, and maybe 50 maybe. But he had this history of, like, everybody got away with everything. This wasn't a concern for presidents back in the day, that you could dig up all of this social media stuff and how people could change the narrative, how you could be manipulated on social media, things like that. So that's what I meant, is that DeSantis has had this world in his view, or this is his world for most of his life, and Trump came in with a different world.
Doesn't necessarily mean people have utilized social media well. I worry about the next generation of political candidates and their Facebook posts and oh my gosh.
It is. I don't know. I think it's an ever-changing, like, things will change very quickly every 4 years. So there, you know, for a long time, I think that they're running for president meant the same thing. When the Bushes ran, when Obama ran, it was all kind of in the, you know, it all looked the same. And then it's changed.
Yeah. Pretty soon, if you don't admit that you did inhale the weed, you're a total loser.
Right.
You know, I think that the standards for our politicians when it comes to their personal lives is going to have to loosen a little bit. I'm not saying that we elect people with terrible moral character, but the things, I think, to your point, that people used to be able to hide, I think they still did all those things, but they can't hide them like today's generation that was on Facebook, you know, starting in 2006 and didn't really understand the concept that, oh, this is going to this is going to follow me for my entire life.
Right. And just the creating narratives, the creating people's world and how that just catches on. One lie can go very far these days.
Yeah. 206 says Marjorie Taylor Greene will be Donald Trump's running mate. I wouldn't be surprised if he chose Carrie Lake now that she's not going to be the governor of Arizona. Speaking of the governor of Arizona, 206 says you can't. Oh, wait, that's not it. Where is that? Where did you take out? Oh, here it is. 253. Remind us all again who was in charge of counting the votes in Arizona. I used to enjoy listening to Brandy, but she definitely has some TDS running through her veins. I do not have Trump derangement syndrome. Trump derangement syndrome is like you think that it is personally ruining your life because Donald Trump is the president and
Correct.
You cannot control your emotions. I just do not like the guy as a politician. That is the only opinion I have, and I feel like it's an opinion shared by a lot of people. And I also don't rush to vilify people who do like Donald
and
Trump.
I
like, that's
think you
fine.
Admit that he did some good things.
Yeah,
that
he did
doesn't
some
mean,
good things for the country.
Yeah, that people with TDS, I don't feel like can do that.
No, they're not capable of admitting anything that he did that was positive. Okay, let's move on to the fastest 15. Former WSU football coach Nick Rolovich. Is it Rolovich or Rolovic? Rolovich.
Rolovic.
Listen,
I'm
oh my gosh, my fiance would die if I didn't know that.
Oh,
he's
yeah.
such a kook.
He would.
So he sued the university and he sued Governor Inslee over his firing. Of course, you'll remember that he was fired in a very high profile way because he would not get the COVID-19 vaccine. So he has now officially filed a lawsuit in the Superior Court of the state of Washington in Whitcomb County, according to Como News. So it seeks damages over his refusal, his firing based on his refusal to comply. Let's see. When he was fired, he had a 5-year, $2 million contract. But the university claimed it was just cause. So they had a reason to terminate him. So they didn't have to pay him out for what would have been 60% of the remaining 3.5 years of his contract. So he's suing them. And I am shocked that there aren't more lawsuits at this juncture. We talked about this the other day, didn't we? Maybe on Friday or something. The fact that, and the thing that really did it for me, is that Governor Inslee didn't mandate the booster. Now, to be clear, I don't want the government to mandate either of those things. And I think we've seen over time some issues with the original vaccine that I think speak to some of the initial concerns that people had. But by not mandating the booster, but still mandating the initial vaccine as a condition of state employment, the governor shows his hand that it does not make any sense. You can't justify that. Because if I walk into the state today and says and say, I want to work for you, I got my initial vaccine. I got the series. I don't remember which one it was. And I didn't get any boosters because I realized that, hey, I might get COVID anyway without the booster. So I just made a decision not to get a booster. But I could walk into the state today and qualify for a job, even though I probably have no efficacy left of the vaccine. Because that was, what, two years ago? Something like that? A year ago?
Yeah,
I lose track of time, obviously. And so that makes no sense. So if I walk in, another person walks in, they didn't get a vaccine 2 years ago, but I did. Because what? I was a good girl and obedient. I get a job with the state.
Exactly. That's exactly what it is.
Right. Because
at this point.
I think the CDC said that efficacy starts to wane after 6 months. So if you're not going to mandate the booster, then the original vaccine mandate is null and void, essentially. It doesn't matter. It's not protecting anybody.
Exactly.
And so I don't see how Nick Rolovich doesn't win this case. Because
and it
now,
will be the first of many, I'm
well,
sure.
Well, because now you've proven that going forward or, you know, to be reinstated. Look, you're not requiring boosters. So we'll see what happens here. I mean, the university believes they had just cause. People who have kind of challenged pandemic era restrictions have not had a lot of luck, I'll say, or pandemic era mandates. But I'll be watching that one really closely. And, you know, again, I don't ever judge anybody for it. If you wanted to get the vaccine, fine. And even, you know, at the beginning in hospital settings, et cetera, before we really understood that the vaccine was not going to protect the spread of the virus, the hospital setting vaccine mandate didn't bother me too much either, to be honest. But then when we learned more and when we realized that, oh, you're not going to mandate the booster, then it's like, okay, well, now you're just being ridiculous. I want to get to something serious. We talked on the show yesterday about just the terror on our roadways from stolen cars everywhere. There was a 74-year-old woman who a guy driving a stolen car crashed into her vehicle and some other vehicles. This 74-year-old lady thinks that he's going to help her. She unlocks her door. He walks up, pulls her out of the vehicle, throws her toward traffic, and then gets in her Subaru and takes off. We also talked about, we had the State Patrol on to talk about this really sad incident in Renton, where there was a road rage incident between, I think, the driver of a Mustang shot at a Durango. And, of course, blind rage, didn't even think about the fact that there was a 9-year-old kid in that Durango who got shot. And is it the grandparents?
Yeah, this is grandpa talking about the injury, which I just think we knew he got shot. We knew he was probably going to live. Like, we had heard good things about that, but it is pretty shocking.
Yeah. So this is the boy's grandpa talking to Cairo 7.
It's a miracle. The bullet went through his face, out his neck, missed his spine, didn't hit any arteries, went in his chest, missed his heart. A fragment of that bullet is still in his abdomen and didn't hit any other organs or arteries. It's a miracle that he's alive.
Yeah, and the grandfather went over to say, I mean, obviously they're devastated, but they realize that this could have been fatal.
A lot of hugs, a lot of crying.
It's made you hold your family a little more closely.
Yes, and a lot of praying.
Well, I mean, that's devastating for the family to have to be going through this. And I don't believe they've found that driver yet.
No,
correct. I mean, it's a very distinct vehicle description. I think it's a dark, deep blue. Can you look it up to make sure I'm not getting better? Deep blue Mustang.
And it has writing on the windshield.
Yeah, we need to find this person. Specific. Because, I mean, and I did a story, I think it was in Renton, of a 1-year-old girl who was shot and killed, who was in her parents' car during, sort of a drive-by situation. And, I mean, come on, guys.
And I have heard a couple people say, well, this 9-year-old's dad got out of the car and screamed at the guy. Regardless, person pulled out a gun.
Well, and we're not talking about either of them. We're talking about this little kid who didn't do anything to anyone. And thankfully, that's the first description I've heard of that child's injuries. So that is just absolutely horrifying. NBC News has suspended one of its big shot correspondents over a report on the attack on Paul Pelosi. I know Dory has talked about this a little bit. So Miguel Almaguer.
Or a lot.
A lot. Miguel Almaguer is with NBC News. And I think he's kind of a West Coast guy because I've seen him here before. And you guys will recall that he did a report with some exclusive details on what happened inside the Pelosi home when police arrived that night that he got attacked with a hammer. Here's a little bit of that report from Miguel Almaguer.
This morning, Paul Pelosi is home, back at the house that became a crime scene a week ago today. NBC News learning new details about the moments police arrived. Sources familiar with what unfolded in the Pelosi residence now revealing when officers responded to the high-priority call, they were seemingly unaware they'd been called to the home of the Speaker of the House. After a knock and announce, the front door was opened by Mr. Pelosi. The 82-year-old did not immediately declare an emergency or tried to leave his home.
And that's one of the key details. I'm going to keep playing this, but this was like a shock when NBC said, Paul Pelosi, he didn't say, hey, help me, come on, or run out of the door.
But instead began walking several feet back into the foyer toward the assailant and away from police.
And so that was another detail that just sort of fed into this narrative that Paul Pelosi knew this guy. So a lot of people watching this NBC News report when it happened a week and a half ago were like, wow, that's some interesting details.
It's unclear if the 82-year-old was already injured or what his mental state was, say sources. According to court documents, when the officer asked what was going on, defendant smiled and said everything's good. But instantaneously, a struggle ensued as police clearly saw David DePap strike Paul Pelosi in the head with a hammer. After tackling the suspect, officers rushed to Mr. Pelosi, who was lying in a pool of blood.
What we do know is he brutally attacked Mr. Pelosi and attempted to kill him.
After spending several days in the ICU, Pelosi, who is recovering from a fractured skull and serious injuries to his arm and hand, is now home where Capitol Police remain on alert. Investigators have previously said Pelosi did not know DePap when the 42-year-old broke into his home. why Pelosi didn't try to flee or tell responding officers he was in distress is unclear.
Fear takes over. Fear freezes people.
This morning, the 82-year-old, lucky to be alive after an intruder nearly killed him in his own home.
Law enforcement officials tell us the bottom line here is this was a terrifying situation. We still don't know exactly what unfolded between Mr. Pelosi and the suspect for the 30 minutes they were alone inside that house before police arrived. Officials who were investigating this matter would not go into further details about these new details.
So the reporter on that NBC story has now been suspended. That confider broke that news, I believe it was just last night, that Miguel Almaguer has been suspended from NBC News pending an internal investigation. Now, you might recall that the reason this gained a lot of traction is after Almaguer's report went up on social media, NBC News immediately took it down. It was scrubbed from their website, and it really fed into this conspiracy or these questions about, okay, is this someone who Paul Pelosi knew? Because you heard Almaguer at the end just throw out a couple questions and say why Pelosi didn't try to flee or tell responding officers he was in distress is unclear. We still don't know exactly what unfolded between Mr. Pelosi and the suspect for the 30 minutes they were alone inside the house before police arrived. Now, I'm not in on the conspiracies on this one. I do think something horrible happened to Paul Pelosi. I don't have any indication that Paul Pelosi knew this guy. I do have questions, though, and I think Miguel Almaguer's reporting definitely raised some red flags. But again, they took it down. We wait a week and a half. We find out that Almaguer has been suspended. And then what Mediaite says is the segment was removed after it was determined the main source for the information was unreliable regarding the circumstances that the police encountered when they arrived at the house, specifically what the police saw and how far the attacker was from the door. So NBC News is basically saying the report was taken down, not because it, you know, shared information that made Paul Pelosi look bad, but because the source that Miguel Almaguer used was unreliable. And if that's the case, then Miguel Almaguer deserves to be suspended because it's a huge story and you can't violate public trust like that. But the confusion just continues with this story.
Yeah, I agree. I think that it's going to be a while before we find out what exactly happened. I want to see the body cam. I think that's the only way they can make anybody believe that it is what it seems is if they release
to
the
just
body
clear the air.
Cam.
Here's one issue I have with the way that NBC News has handled this. In the media, we demand transparency and accountability of everyone else except ourselves.
Exactly. Mm-hmm.
And it's like you should be the model for transparency. Yet you see these journalists at the highest levels who wait forever to retract something that they know is wrong. This happened with that CNBC reporter who said that a team of data engineers from Twitter was fired. And, you know, there were really just two jokesters standing outside Twitter with these cardboard boxes. And she stood by that for a while until she came out a couple days later. You know, she limited comments on her page. People couldn't respond on Twitter. And then she's like, we were wrong. We got fooled, essentially. And I mean, you have to come out. What NBC News should have done immediately once that video disappeared off the internet, they know that people are going to notice.
Right. And why did they wait a week and a half to say that they're investigating it? So there's still some questions about it. It's almost like they were looking for a good reason. I don't know.
Right.
It doesn't make any sense to not be transparent.
You
about
have to be transparent, or you can't expect transparency of politicians, of leaders.
Or you can't
leaders.
Expect people not to question you.
Exactly, yeah. So I think NBC really bungled this one. I've met Miguel Almaguer once on a story, and I will also say of network correspondents, they have a team with them, and sometimes that information that goes into their reporting is from a producer's source, et cetera, et cetera. So I'd like all that to be clarified as well. But he's taking, you know, the heat for it, as he should, because anything as a journalist that comes out of your mouth, regardless of if it was handed to from a producer or whatever, it's ultimately your fault. And that has been the Fastest 15.
This has been the Fastest 15 Minutes in the News. Fast Dory's Fastest 15.
A world of news in a tiny 15-minute package just for you, my darlings. Is Dave Wyman coming in?
Dave is coming in.
Okay, we're going to sort out our beef.
Oh, you have a beef?
I don't know. It's manufactured just for the radio. Dave Wyman, I'm looking forward to hearing about all about their trip to Germany and the Seahawks. That's coming up on the Dory Monson Show. Brandi Cruz filling in. Oh, Bob Marley.
No.
Oh. Jimi Hendrix?
Can I get in on this one? Sublime.
I know. I really
Who just
thought
said Sublime.
Come on now.
Why would you do that?
Because you guys weren't getting get it.
I was going to get it. We need another one. That doesn't count.
This one's under protest now. Way to go, Grinnello. I appreciate you, actually, because I didn't have it.
I know. I could see Dave's eyes.
Really? You didn't know that one, Dave?
I
really thought.
I got Aaron working with me on this one. Look at you. You calm down, okay?
Listen, this is the only... I live for this.
All right. Another one? You got another one?
Oh, yeah. Sure.
Yeah. Aaron,
since, since Grinnello ruined it.
Smarty pants. Oh. Crash
Goo Goo Dolls.
Into me, babe. And it fall into me.
Stop singing.
It's not tuned.
It's such a good song. It's lovely.
My goodness.
I'm sorry. I'm not good at this. Aaron Zippet.
He's from Washington.
Aerosmith?
Not Aerosmith. Not from Washington.
He's a local guy. Plays at the Gorge usually, but it's coming.
Oh, Dave.
Just
Dave.
Played
Dave.
A couple weeks ago.
Dave.
Dave Miller. Dave.
No. This is
Dave Thomas.
No. Close. Dave's not
Walters.
Good enough. Hold on. Okay,
Williams.
Everybody just give me some thinking time.
Oh my gosh, people are so disappointed.
Hold on, I need just a sec.
Oh man, this one's killing me.
Can I Google? I know who it is. Dave. I know who it is.
I do too.
He used to go to my gym.
Dave Matthews.
Matthews. There we go.
This has been an embarrassing
display. That was the most frustrating 2 minutes of radio.
I watched
Seattle
Dave
history.
Matthews on the beach in Miami 4th of July 1 year. It was just like a free concert.
Wow.
It was amazing. But here, I don't know his last name. That was just one of those moments. I think Dave should have counted. Dave, he
I
has
Dave.
Your same name.
You shaming me?
Dave Wyman, good to see you.
Good to see you.
When I fill in for Dory, you're usually on the phone. So it's nice to see you in person.
Yes.
You are, first, let's get to our beef I had that I guess it's not your fault. But I had a conversation with our friend Dory Monson because I noticed that for your weekly chat, he got two segments. You get two segments.
Mm-hmm.
I only got one.
Oh, we're getting two today.
Well, yeah, but that's always been the case for you. So when I'm on with Dory for my Thursday segment.
Coincidence.
He only gave me one.
Oh. Oh,
like,
I see.
There
what
was no commercial break between.
Oh.
So I had a conversation with Dory. It was like, obviously, sexism at play. Clearly, there's no other explanation.
Sure.
Now, I have two segments, but I also asked him to take away one of yours out of fairness. How was Germany?
It was really great. Just getting over the trip there and then the trip back. You know, if you take that part out of it. Did like one of the most brutal radio shows ever.
Why?
When we first got there.
Because you were in a bar, right? Which is a weird.
We're in a bar with screaming fans with no headphones. And, and they were excited and everything. So, yeah. But I mean, and it's like, you still go, well, that's my job. I go to a bar and talk about sports. That's not too terrible. But it was really hard to hear. I couldn't hear anything. And my hearing is awful.
Yeah.
I've got tinnitus and all that stuff. So I was sitting there next to Bumpus and he was like screaming what he was saying to me, like a question. And I was trying to read his lips and I'm like, I got nothing.
I can't hear you. That's the worst.
Yeah,
that's like when you lose IFB when you're on TV.
Yeah.
And you're like, I don't know what you want from me.
Yeah, exactly. But anyway, we ended up doing the next day a really good show. We got to talk to the players. The culture that the Seattle Seahawks have just in general, like from the training staff to the players to the coaches and everything, is awesome.
Yeah.
It really is. It didn't feel, on the way back, it didn't really feel like a loss. And just, you know, a lot of the camaraderie, like everybody, whatever they've done there, it's fantastic. It was so fun to travel with that team.
What's the flight? How long did it take you to fly there?
It was 10 hours.
Yeah. So I always, whenever they go overseas to play, I always hear this, and even across the country to play, there's always this issue with time zone.
Yeah.
And people were trying to kind of make an excuse for the Seahawks that their time change was worse.
9 instead of 6.
But is when you get to that much, does it really matter anyway?
No, I don't think so.
It's just an excuse.
And I don't think it was really that. That's not why they lost the game.
Why it's tougher on the fans having to get up at 6:30 to watch the game.
Woe is the fans.
East Coast, 9:30.
Yeah. So
why'd they lose?
Well, they lost because the Tampa Bay Buccaneers ran the ball on them, and they didn't expect that, I don't think. That's what it looked like to me. They had averaged 60 yards a game on the ground, and they end up running for 160. And I just think they underestimated that. They didn't have enough guys to get technical in the box, meaning, you know, if there's seven gaps, you got to have seven guys in there, and they only had six, and did a football 101 breakdown on it that'll be online. Maybe people can check it out. But that's just me. I mean, I'm not in the coach's room, so I'm not an expert. But based on when I used to play, that's kind of what it looked like. They just sort of underestimated that part of it. They underestimated how good the Tampa Bay defense is, and Tampa Bay is a good team, and you've got the best quarterback of all time. Do you know, I was going to try to find from here to somewhere, but Tom Brady has thrown for 57 miles in the NFL.
Wait, 57, more than 57 miles. 57.
100,116 yards.
Wait, more than 57 miles, right?
No.
That sounds small. So it wasn't impressive when I heard it.
Wow, you just totally...
57 yeah. miles for a guy who's played that long?
What do you think about
it? I thought you were going to say like 5,700 miles.
But then he decided to be receiver in the middle there, and that didn't work out very well.
Yeah, why in the world did they do that? I'm not sure. Well, I'll tell you why they did that. So they had a wildcat play where Tom Brady's lined up to the left, and nobody paid attention to them. None of the Seahawks, and they ran the ball. So their coaches, I'm sure, go, hey, nobody covered Brady on that. Let's go back to that. But the Seahawks also have coaches watching that and going, yeah, hey, nobody covered him. So the next time they cover him with maybe the most wildly athletic person in the NFL, Tariq Woolen, he gets his fifth interception. And then Tom Brady gets a penalty for tripping him.
But he also slipped and fell. It wasn't even a tackle.
But he just kind of kicked his legs or something, which you can't do.
57 miles. Yeah, bummer to hear about Tom Brady and Giselle. You never want to.
That's really disappointing to me. Yeah, it's terrible. And you got kids and everything. It's very sad. Even if you don't have kids, I just think it's, you know, marriage is such a, I think, such a treasure. And I feel really bad for him and his wife. And I don't know what's going on there. But
yeah, you and I talked about this the last time. I think I filled in for Dory that, you know, sometimes in those positions, and you've experienced this a little bit, this is your, like, job, but it's also just what you enjoy doing, and you throw so much of yourself into it.
Yeah, exactly. So I don't know. And look, her career has a shelf life too, right?
No, she's going to be beautiful forever.
You think?
Well, yeah.
Tom Brady's probably going to be awesome for forever.
You get things from my era. Train?
No.
Oh, that was a good guess.
Thank you.
It was.
Train.
Close. And it's kind of the same time frame.
1993 is this album.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was five. I know the song.
There, Andrew.
Don't know.
Any final guesses?
Counting Crows.
Oh, we've never got that.
Counting Crows?
Yeah. I'm sorry. I feel bad to the Dory listeners. I'm not good at this. I'm not a good replacement for Dory, and I hope this doesn't count against his score. But frankly, neither of us are doing particularly well today.
You were going to say, and frankly, Wyman is terrible too. But you said neither of us. That was very nice of you.
And you are off this weird time change.
Yeah, I'm all screwed.
And so I'm going to give you some credit for that. Okay. I just am generally not good at trivia. Oh, we'll be right back, by the way.
Oh,
with
by the
Dave
way.
Wyman. Stick around. It's like rain. Alanis Morissette.
There you go.
Alanis Morissette.
Oh, got it.
I would have got it faster, but my mic wasn't on. Would you have known that, Dave?
Eventually, but I wouldn't have got it that fast.
All right, well, it's 1-1.
I only have one headphone that's working.
Oh, now we're okay. Now
yeah,
excuses.
So gotcha. That's my excuse.
I mean, we could hear the air in
Thank
the
you.
Studio without headphones.
No,
on,
I would not have gotten that.
Okay,
I'm fully admitting it's 1-1.
He packed his suitcase.
Was she angry?
Was Alanis angry?
Yeah,
she was very angry. I think she had just broken up with Dave Coulier. That's what they say. Is this album is mostly about him? But I actually just went to the play last week at the Paramount because they made a play of this whole album, and they in between every song they've like made it into a story.
Oh, that's interesting.
It wasn't amazing. I thought it was going to be more of a nostalgic experience, but it was kind of drama. It was like a mom addicted to pills.
Yeah. Dave, I have some behavior-related questions to ask you, and you brought one up I didn't know about. DK Metcalf got a fine for...
He got a penalty.
What'd he do? Why are you laughing? I can't ask about this?
He said bleep you to the official. I thought it was funny.
The F word.
I don't like the official. I didn't like him. His name was Tussy or Mussy.
But you were just saying in the break that officials should be prepared to deal with some level of...
Okay, let me tell you this story really quick. I was getting held. I used to be on the edge of the field goal team, and I had this technique where, and they knew that I'd block the inside guy and then dive out and get the other guy. Well, the guy who was coming inside was grabbing me and holding me. And so I got in a fight with him, and then the official came over. And, you know, I was just in a rage. I was screaming, yelling, fighting this guy because he was, you know, they almost blocked the kick. And so he comes up to me later while I'm in my huddle and he says, "Hey, Dave, what was this you were talking about?" And I looked at him. I go, "Get the bleep out of my huddle. Get the bleep out of here," screaming at him. And you know what he did? He started to laugh, kind of chuckling, and he put his hands up and backed away. He's like, okay. So then I go find him about 10 minutes later. I go, "Hey, man, I'm sorry. Look, here's what's happening. Blah, blah, blah." We had this nice conversation. He understood that it's the heat of the moment, mm-hmm. and it's a football field, and we're not worried about our feelings, especially not the officials' feelings. And I love the officials. The officials are awesome guys. They're there to help you. But if you're going to be John Hussey and all of a sudden get sensitive about everything. Ridiculous. It's ridiculous. It's like a war zone out there, man. Yep. And so that bothered me. And I thought it made me chuckle when I heard that was what DK said.
What's the penalty? Is it disorderly conduct?
What it was like 15-yard penalty for unnecessary, or no, it was something conduct.
Disorderly conduct?
I don't think it's
conduct
disorderly.
Unbecoming?
Yeah, something like that. That sounds more like a court martial.
That's like a military term. Yeah, I think it is. I know more about military court martials than I do about NFL plays. Okay, so speaking on the same thing about what's acceptable, what's not acceptable, and I'm kind of in the same frame as you, I think we agree on this, that I think people apologize too much, you know? Mm. There's some things worth apologizing for, but Tim Hardaway was calling the Warriors Spurs game, and this is what he said, something that offended some folks.
So y'all thought that was great D. I thought that was just raping him. I think
it could have went either way.
Yeah, I think you should have called the police on that.
Right.
He said he should call the police on the play because it was like raping. And here's his apology.
Fourth quarter. Hey, everybody. I used a poor choice of words earlier in the broadcast. I want to apologize for that. And, you know, let's get back to the game and let's finish this game off with a 30-point win and go home happy. Awesome.
Thoughts, Dave Wyman?
You know, I mean, that's a terrible choice of words there. I mean, I'm not offended, and I'm not going to make a big deal out of it. I'd just be like, I feel sorry for him for saying that.
Yeah.
Like maybe he didn't mean. By the way, it's unsportsmanlike conduct.
Oh, okay. Yeah, you're right. Okay. Yeah. Unsportsmanlike conduct.
Yeah. So, that was a weird one, but offended? I'm sorry. I don't get offended. I'm in charge of that. I'm in charge of whether I'm, offended. It's not like somebody else can do that to me.
What's the last thing you were offended by?
I don't remember.
But I will say these guys are just trying to fill time. Isn't that sometimes hard, trying to fill as much time as you have to fill during these games? And you accidentally say something that you might say to a friend as opposed to should have been saying on the radio.
As a guy who said a lot of stupid things on the radio, I don't know. That one just wouldn't occur to me.
No, that one. I know it wouldn't occur to you. Yeah. But.
But yeah, I guess I feel sorry for him.
You run out of kind of analogies and metaphors. And
right.
I got once on when I was at Fox 13, I said, was it beating a dead horse? And apparently PETA does not like that phrase.
Mm. Right.
And I had a couple of viewers who asked me via email if I would choose different words. And I thought, yeah, I could probably find a better way to say that.
I'd say no. Just no. That ends it. You know, that's what, like being a parent, there's no. And then there's everything else. So just no. There you go. Makes it simple. I have
like
no
Blondie?
Idea who this is.
I don't know. I don't know the...
This is some teeny bopper.
No, this isn't.
Is this Madonna? See,
teeny
I don't
bopper
know.
Music from Andrew.
Paula Abdul?
No.
Okay.
Is it something about a boulevard?
Yeah.
This song?
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Madonna. Did you say Madonna?
I did.
I don't know.
Let's do it one more because I don't want to tie.
Yeah.
Cheryl Crow, by the way.
Yeah.
Oh, I would have never got that. One more. I don't want to tie.
I don't know if I have another one ready. Hang on.
Oh, my gosh.
We got a heart out here?
Maybe.
Yeah, we're past it, but this is serious.
Hang on. I think I have something.
We're going to get in trouble.
Almost there.
We're in big trouble.
Sister, train!
There we go. This is train.
Dave Wyman, thank you so much. Farewell, loser. Much more ahead
I'm offended.
Dory Monson
that offends
show.
Me.
Brandi Crews filling in.